Tired of talking to jamokes? Don't have great kitchen design ideas? You better call Paul, the Kitchen Whisperer.
Hi, Gina, it's Paul. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Paul. How are you?
Very good. Welcome to Better Call Paul. Just to fill everybody in, we've talked before just over the phone, and we tweaked your design or made some changes to it from the original plan that you sent me. And now you're calling back in, and we're going to discuss whatever other changes you want to make how to move things around or answer questions. But we're starting off, if you're listening to this and this makes it to our podcast, you're starting off halfway through Gina's journey. So,
and it's been quite a journey, to be true. I mean, to be certain. So, Paul, I went back and I looked at the variations that I've had over probably the last 18 months, and you were just like the kitchen whisperer. I cannot believe the way you came up with this brilliant design at the way it's compared to others. So thank you.
We'll have to deal with this on the podcast, just because in real life, I don't get flattered so often. But just to tell you a funny story, we used to, when we first started the podcast, it wasn't a podcast, it was just a helpline. And then more people called in. I think I told you that.
You know,
we used to get many more phone calls. And the funny thing that happened is before COVID, we all worked out of the office. Now we all put most of us at home now working, and we only go into the office to meet customers to make selections. But when we were in the office, people would call up and they'd get different people every week. And then sometimes people would call in and I'd answer the phone and I'd say, you know, Paul speaking, and there'd be a pause. And then the person would say, the Paul. And then everybody that worked with me, all the people that worked with me would all roll their eyes, shake their heads and look at me in disgust.
When you called last week, Paul, I felt that same, I just felt so grateful and a little starstruck after reading your website as much as I have. So, Jeff, thank you.
Well, if we're good at our job, so if you talk to Chris, who's the more experienced designer at our company, if Chris designed something and I designed something, or anybody that's been doing it for a long time and is good at it, it's not that I'm really that great. It's if you're good at it and you do it for a long time, you come up with the same things. So it's, but if you're not good at it and you haven't been doing it a long time, then it's impossible for you to come up with those things. You have to fail before you succeed.
Absolutely. And your expertise really was very transparent when you sent that design. We were just like, oh my gosh, how come we couldn't even come up with it? We just don't have the experience in this. So
you're really obeying a few almost 100 rules that are forcing your hand into that design. So that's why if I gave your floor plan to Chris, he would rattle off the same design pretty much probably in half an hour. So it just sort of forces it. But you know, again, just because we like it, that's not usually the kitchen that people buy, right? Because it's not our kitchen, it's theirs. But we want to start with the thing that's the most, you know, the most functional. And then everybody has their own needs and their own things that they really want. So we wouldn't be making any money if, you know, we alienated people by forcing them to get our designs. We just want them to see them first. And then we change them from there. So that being said, what do you want to change?
Well, that is, you know, we spent some time and we looked at the design that you sent. And one of the things where we failed in kind of expressing kind of maybe the dimensions of the room accurately is when you're looking at where you currently have the peninsula next to the sink, that first set of cupboards, what we discovered was that we wouldn't be able to get them to run perfectly parallel to one another because where that vent is currently, they have kind of like a bookshelf of sorts that we're using as a pantry that sticks out alongside where our refrigerator currently is. Mm-hmm. And where this vent ends, it actually protrudes about 2 inches beyond where the upper cabinets currently end. So if we had a cabinet there, we'd have to dig into that vent by 2 inches, and we're not sure that we even have that space. So I'm wondering what we might be. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, the two things you can do. One, you don't need that cabinet there at all, but you want the molding to die into the chase if it's going to. So probably the molding is going to stick out at least 3 inches. So maybe if it's about 2 inches now, you make it deeper.
Okay.
But that probably wouldn't look as good. The other thing is, I think if you take off the drywall that's on this area with the pipe chase, you'll find out almost certainly, because it's going to a second floor. And we don't know this for a fact until you open the drywall up, but it's quite likely it's behind studs. So the vent goes up, and then they built a wall right over the vent. So maybe the vent is 8 inches, and then they put 2x4s on top of the 8 inches and then drywalled it. And then the combination of all these different things ended up being an inch or two bigger than the cabinets on the right-hand side. In which case, if you pull off the studs and you turn them sideways, because the studs are they're 2x4s, they're 3.5 inches deep, you could just pull them off and turn them sideways, and now they're 1.5 inches deep. And now that everything would be coming out, maybe if it's 2 inches, even with your cabinets. And then if you really wanted to get fancy and you wanted this same look, you could pull all your wall cabinets out 1 inch, and then you then put a fake front on the pipe chase. But that's a ton of work, right?
Yeah. And do you think it's, I mean, if we, it makes sense what you said, certainly, but do you think, is the return on that step really worthwhile? I mean, is that, you're right. It sounds like a lot of extra work, because we'd have to make everything, we'd pull everything forward by about 1.5 inches then, in order to make sure that they're aligned. Is that what you're suggesting?
You could pull all the wall cabinets forward in an inch or so. But you know, the one thing about all this is it's going to look better, but it's not getting it's not getting you one iota of extra storage.
Yeah.
So you're doing a lot of work and you're only getting looks. So I don't know that it would be a horrible thing if you just had the pipe chase stay as it is, and then maybe made it a little bit deeper so that the molding would die into it.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, because we were going through it. I mean, it all looks so beautifully aesthetically, but then we thought, oh darn it, this this pipe chase is
and how deep are the shelves? You sure the shelves are 12 inches deep?
Yeah, when we measured it, they're 12. But
which shelves are we talking about?
The current shelves that we have next to the refrigerator with the pipe chase is right ahead of.
Okay.
Mark's going to go measure it, but I'm pretty sure that we have, they're 12 inches. I thought they were. Mark's going to measure.
And the pipe chase comes out 2 inches past them.
Yeah. It comes out 2 inches beyond where our current upper shelves end. So our current upper shelves are inset 2 inches. Okay, so he's measuring the shelves again. Yeah, so they're 12 inches, the shelves themselves currently.
And the pipe chase comes out 14?
It's about 14 is what he's trying to measure behind our refrigerator, which is a bit of a challenge. But
the pipe chase comes off the wall, comes out about 12 inches.
Oh, okay.
The pipe chase comes out about 12 inches, yes. So that's why it's coming out beyond, because I think our current shelves, what the current depth of these, Mark, is only 11 inches?
11.5.
So it sounds to me like what you can do is you can leave the pipe chase the way it is.
Okay.
If it's really only 11 inches deep. And then you can just take all the wall cabinets on this side of the wall. And just put fairing strips on the wall. You know what fairing strips are? Just 3/4 inch cheap pieces of wood. And so that you're pulling your wall cabinets out 3/4 inch. And when you pull your wall cabinets out 3/4 inch, now your wall cabinets will all be 12.5 inches off the wall, or 12 3/4 inches off the wall. And then you could just put a fake cabinet front right on top of the pipe chase. And
yep, yep, that's what we were thinking. Exactly.
And then it will look exactly like the thing I did. And now if you get fancy, when you open that, it's called a cabinet front. You just buy the cabinet front, and then you just shim it out so that it's perfectly even with your wall cabinets. And then what you do in back of the cabinet front is you paint the wall with either erase mark paint or blackboard paint. So you can open those doors and have notes and things to yourself about your...
That's super cool.
If you want to, if you want to have, you know, whatever, your potatoes or whatever, you just open the doors, you write potatoes down, you write whatever, that's your...
I like that.
And it looks really good.
That's a great idea.
It's not wasted now. And now just running some furring strips on the wall and back of the cabinets is nothing.
No, I love that idea. I wonder, we could probably put a very thin cork board back there too, so we could actually pin our lists and stuff.
You can have
a
cork board back there too, yeah. And then you could just pin the notes up there. That might even look better.
Well, that makes me happy to think about at least being able to utilize that space. So that's fantastic.
Well, now it's all going to look really good from the outside. And then also, you know, it's your little secret. So it's sort of cute.
I love that. Having.
A lot of the gadgets that we give people in kitchens don't really work very well and are crazy expensive. This thing is going to be very inexpensive and it's going to be sort of cute. So.
Oh my gosh, he's singing our song. I love it. Okay. So that's perfect. And then so Paul, like, would you explain with the peninsula countertops? We're trying to understand like we read your specs, but about how much is it sticking out from where that what do we call it? Where the wall kind of starts.
Yeah, so you mean on the backside where you had the coffee bar before or whatever.
Correct. Yes.
So
how deep
when I
is
looked
that?
At that, it looked like the designer had reduced the depth of those cabinets to 21 inches because the wall only came out 22 inches or 23 inches. They had reduced the depth of the walls because that's why they had, remember, if you remember their design, they had like a diagonal bump out going to the wine refrigerator.
Yes. 22. Okay. Yes. I do remember that.
The reason they had the diagonal bump out going to the wine refrigerator, because the doorway to the left was, you know, they couldn't make all the cabinets 24 because they needed the countertop not to stick out into the doorway. So what they did was they made the cabinets there a little bit shallower, but then all the wine refrigerators are all 24 inches deep. So they had to have it be an angle bumping out to put the wine refrigerator there. And that I didn't have exact measurements. But that was just my interpretation of when I looked at the scale of the drawings and looked at the door and everything. It looked like that was the reason that they were doing that. So I just I didn't want to assume that I had any more space than they were using. So I made the cabinets to the left of your wine refrigerator only 21 inches deep. And then the problem with that is if you still want to keep your wine refrigerator, I don't want your wine refrigerator bumping out. So the only way you can have the wine refrigerator and not have it bump out is it has to recess into the wall there. And that would really only be a problem. It's very easy to recess it an inch or two because you can have two doors turned on their sides and you can have an outlet there and everything else. No problem. The only reason it would ever be a problem would be if you had ductwork running up in the wall in that exact location.
Okay. And when we looked at it last night, no, we're not total professionals on any of this, but it seemed that we would be okay. So it seemed like it was going to work. We don't think it's going to run into the duct there, but that's fantastic. So we're looking at 21 deep. And then what about the full length of that peninsula then from, if you're looking at the bar area to the edge, how long is that right now?
From the bar area all the way to the edge? Or from the corner to the end of the dishwasher panel on the left of the dishwasher?
Yes. Yes, yes.
So the corner to the edge of the dishwasher, you've got 24 inches of the base cabinets. Then you need a 3-inch filler. Then you need an 18-inch double trash can pullout. And we didn't discuss it, but giving you an 18-inch double trash can pullout means that your sink cabinet can only be 24 inches. That means that
I'm sorry. I,
Your sink cabinet can only be 24 inches wide, which means the sink bowl is exactly 21 and a half, which is a standard single bowl sink. So because I'm giving you the bigger trash can pull out, your sink is going to be a normal, very standard single bowl sink. But, you know, I don't think that's a big deal, having a standard single bowl. But now you have two 35 quart trash cans, which is probably most people would like to have. So assuming that you got that. So with the countertop overhang, you sort of have 95 inches from the corner of the wall to the end of your countertop on the left side of the dishwasher. And I was just guessing at how big the space would be between the inside of the door opening and the inside of the trim from that line to the inside trim on the doorway was my guess. And I was guessing it was going to end up being 32. But as long as it's... How much is it?
We were very impressed because about how precise your numbers were with as little of information, as we provided. But yeah, we figured it was going to be about 30. What did you? About 34. So
If
he moves, and so if he moves that,
you can make it
looking in the lower. Yeah, he's looking at actually removing that little piece of wall there that's jetting out. So we could potentially even capture another 12 inches there.
Well, if you take that out, if you can, you only need this space. This space only needs to be 30 inches wide. And what I would do, and it's 30 inches isn't going to feel tight because, right, you might have a doorway or a wall, but on your left is going to be wide open with your arm can swing out essentially across the countertop. And all the doorways to bedrooms and bathrooms, well, not even bathrooms, a lot of bathrooms are much narrower than that. But the standard doorway to the bedroom is 30 inches wide. So having this walkway space be 30 inches or 30 and a half inches is all that it really needs to feel comfortable. And it's also the distance that you're going to need to get a stove in, to get all refrigerators will be able to usually be able to come in. Like if you got even a really deep refrigerator, gigantic refrigerator, their boxes are only going to be 30 inches deep. And so you'll have to take doors off the refrigerator, but there's not really an appliance that you couldn't get into the room rolling.
No, that's great to know. That's wonderful. That's great. What else? Let me see. So Paul, one of the things that I noticed is, I'm looking at the stove and I'm looking to the left-hand side. You've got the three drawers and I'm assuming those are all like rollout drawers. Is that the way you design those?
On the left-hand side of the stove?
Of the stove, yes.
So that's a 30-inch drawer base. So that's what you usually would be referred to as pots and pans drawers. And it's the narrowest that you would want pots and pans drawers. So, but it's a fine size. And you have a Lazy Susan all the way in the right-hand corner. And that Lazy Susan would, you know, nowadays it wouldn't have a pole and it wouldn't be cheap plastic, even in the inexpensive cabinet brands, solid wood, Lazy Susan with ball bearings on the swivel, you know, a shelf underneath it, so that any inexpensive but higher end inexpensive cabinet brand, up to the most expensive brands, they'll all sort of be the same ball bearing Lazy Susans, and they'll spin independently, and you'll have a shelf underneath them, so stuff can't fall off. So you'll be able to keep pots and pans and bowls in both of your big drawer base and also your Lazy Susan cabinet.
Oh, that's great. Okay, that's wonderful. And then so with the Lazy Susan that we have in the lower cabinets above, we have a really interesting kind of, and I was trying to understand what these letters mean. So is it 24 length by 42 high? Is that what that means? So
42 high, and it's 24 by 24. It's a diagonal wall cabinet. And, you know, a lot of designers that like more contemporary styles would not make that a 24 by 24 angle cabinet. They would make it a 24 by 24 easy reach cabinet. An easy reach cabinet is where the door folds. I didn't make it that because it was more important to me to have the size of the door to the angle cabinet is more like 15 inches wide. And then the door to the cabinet on the right side of the window is 17 and a half. So the two doors are closer in size, which looks a little bit better. If I made it an easy reach cabinet, then each door would be a little 12-inch door. But it wouldn't be so bad because all of your doors are 12s. You know, the 24-inch cabinets to the left of the hood and the right of the hood, they're also all 12-inch wide doors. So you just have 12-inch wide, 12-inch wide door hood, 12-inch wide door, 12-inch wide door, easy reach folding door wall cabinet, 12 inches by 12 inches. And then you'd have the one different size cabinet to your right. You know, I think if I gave this to the other designers that work for me, they would all not give you the angle cabinet. They would opt for the folding. But that's just personal.
So the folding. Okay. So the folding door is an option.
And it will also end at the same distance from the window. So it's going to be 24 inches along one wall, 24 inches along the other. The angle cabinet has the advantage of having more space in it, but also you can lose things in it, like towards the back.
Yeah.
But by the same token, you could put a Lazy Susan on the bottom shelf of that and just a wooden Lazy Susan in the bottom shelf and then put all your spices on that. And then the other shelves could be, you know, you could put stuff that you use less frequently up there. But, you know, either way, it's it's personal preference.
Okay, no, that's great to know. And then when we look at the shelf just to the right of the window there, is it a little bit shorter than the other shelves that you have on the other side?
Oh, did I make a mistake? That's my mistake. Yes, it should be the same.
Oh, no, I don't think it. I just thought it was a design choice. Okay,
no, it's not a design choice. It's a mistake. I'm imperfect. so I
no,
meant to click.
Say it isn't so. Okay.
I meant to click 42, and I clicked 36. It's a misclick.
Okay, so it's 42 as well.
Yeah, should be 42.
So we cook a lot, Paul, and one of the biggest complaints we've had besides, you know, you saw the kitchen we were working in, so you can appreciate that, but is not being able to access all of the spices and see what we have. And I'm wondering if in this drawer that you have to the right of the stove, if it might be a better use of space if we maybe had drawers in there and had, I've heard pros and cons about like the spice racks that people use that kind of they lay into the drawers themselves.
If you're going to get if you're going to put spices in a drawer, you could pick, you could pick either drawer. You could even take the top drawer of the drawer base 30 that's on the left side of your stove. That really wide drawer there could be divided in two. You could put spices on one half of it, and then maybe knives and or spatulas or other utensils on the other side. Or if you decided to do that with all spatulas and everything else on the left side of the stove, and you wanted to turn the right hand side of the stove into spices on the right hand side of the stove, that's fine too. Mm-hmm. The kind of thing you would use for that drawer, I would think, is not the old-fashioned kind. The old-fashioned kind was like this little thing that was like angled up at you so that you'd put your spices on the wooden thing and they'd all be like McCormick spices and they'd all face at an angle to you. But the problem with that is now all your spices have to be that perfect height. And if they're any longer than that, you can't close your drawer. So what they make nowadays really inexpensively is a rubber spice mat. And this rubber spice mat is like scalloped so that all your spices can be any height that you want. And you just put them in rows, I guess in a 15-inch wide cabinet that's that wide. The inside of that cabinet is like 8 inches wide. You would get four rows of spices, and then the depth of the drawer is like 20 inches. So you'd have four rows of spices, 20 inches. They could be any height that you'd want. You'd get, a whole bunch of spices in there. I don't know if it's enough, but it would be a ton. And
great.
If you Google rubber spice mat, it will come up. on Google. And it what
okay,
it
I
is,
will, that's a list of.
it's a whole roll of this rubber mat that you put down, and then you just cut them to the right length, and then you just click them in to each other until you get to the end of your drawer. And then you just take a utility knife or scissors and just cut it off so that it fills the whole
oh, wow.
the drawer bottom. And then the whole roll costs like $22, and it can do two drawers. So,
wow. Okay.
Or it's probably
I love
bucks
that
here.
Idea.
Yeah, but it's much better when they're flat. You don't want them tilting up, because then you have to switch all your spices to all the same sizes.
No, that makes great sense. And I like that idea of maybe just even would we have to use, like, how deep would that top drawer need to be, Paul, in order to get that?
Oh, no, it's, you know, you have more, unfortunately, you have more room than you need. The depth of the drawer is like, I forget what the depth of the inside of a drawer is. Maybe it's 4 inches, but the spice
okay.
mat is a quarter inch thick. So it's
okay.
Not thick at all. Maybe
so
it's an eighth of an inch. So there's no spice.
If we decided we just wanted to use one shelf for that or one drawer, we could probably keep the formation the way you have it now
mm-hmm.
and just kind of commit to the top drawer on the right-hand side. And then on the left-hand side, because we have tons of utensils, and of course we need to purge, but and then our silverware, I was thinking that could be on top of where you have the pots and pans right now.
You could do that, but a better place for your silverware might be to the left of your refrigerator, only because
okay.
then you don't have to pull out a 30-inch drawer for silverware. So silverware sort of works a little bit nicer if it's in a 15 to 18-inch drawer, because you know
okay.
you only need knives, forks, spoons, and maybe big spoons, right? So you only really need
okay.
a four-slot
yep.
thing, and you get that easily in a 15 or an 18-inch drawer base.
Okay.
If you use the 30, it's not bad.
Know.
It's just that every time you want a knife, fork, or spoon, which is going to happen all the time, you're going to have to pull out a whole 30-inch drawer.
Got it. Okay. Got it. That makes great sense.
And you don't want it over your trash can, probably. So that's why you wouldn't put it
right.
to the your sink. I would make
okay.
that,
no,
a
that makes,
drawer, personally.
That makes great sense. And then, let's see. One of the things we were going to talk about also, Paul, as you had said, If we end up keeping that step into the crazy pantry, you had said there's a way that we can kind of design the pantry around that without having to do a custom cabinet.
Yeah. So the way that you would do that is right now your pantry is 96 inches tall, right?
Okay.
So, and you'd have to tell me exactly how high that step was, but it's going to work.
Okay.
Do you know how high it
it's
is?
9 inches. It's not a standard step. It's like it's 9 inches high, but Mark's going to go measure it right now.
And it sticks out in front of the, because in the pictures that you sent me, there was nothing sticking out, but was it removed or something? You just don't have it there now?
No, it's definitely, unfortunately, there. So it's 9 inches high. And then how wide is it, Mark?
It's just 9 inches.
So it sticks out. From the wall, the height of it is 9 inches, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then how far does it stick out this way, Mark?
9 inches.
It's 9 by 9. Yeah, 9 by 9, Paul.
It's only 9 inches wide?
No,
9 inches deep. It's 9 inches deep and like 30 inches wide. 9 inches deep. 9 inches high and 9 inches deep. Got it.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
So if it's 9 inches high, we're going to take 96 inches, which is how high that pantry is now. And we're going to subtract 9 minus 9, which leaves 87 inches minus 42 equals 3. Okay. So the way you would do this very inexpensively is you would order a wall cabinet, two wall cabinets, excuse me, that are 18 inches wide and 42 inches high. Right. So, and then you're going to have to pay. It will cost 25% more. You pay to have it made double depth, 24 inches deep instead of 12 inches deep.
24 inches deep. Okay.
So now
you pay to have it
24. Yep. So now you paid for these two wall cabinets, which are minute in price compared to a big tall pantry cabinet. So this is going to end up being less expensive than even a pantry cabinet. And you're going to have just two wall cabinets made double depth. And then you're going to lift them up right to the same height, even with all the other cabinets in the room. And then you're going to end up, the bottom of this cabinet, when you do this, is going to end up being 12 inches off the floor, not 9. And so then you'll just have to close in the bottom with matching plywood or whatever on the bottom of this cabinet. And then now your door will open and close, and it will be 3 inches away from the other cabinets. And when you do this, by the way, because you're stacking these cabinets on top of each other, you have to build a platform on underneath them to hold them up. Because if you're just screwing them to the wall, they're too deep to just be screwed to the wall, right? They need to be supported from the bottom too.
Yep. Okay. That makes great sense.
Mm-hmm. With, and then you just have a piece of plywood going all the way down to the floor, and then you're all set.
So even though we have that clearance at the bottom, I guess what I'm trying to make sure, I would love to have a space to get rid of my brooms so I don't have to hide them in obscure places. So could I still keep it the full depth of the 96 inches and just raise? That makes sense. So the cabinet would open, but it would...
Even if you want to put a broom in a cabinet, most cabinet companies don't make the bottom part of their cabinet is not big enough for a broom. The top part of their cabinet is made, there's a floor in between the top part and the bottom part of a pantry. And that helps hold the pantry together. But they make the top part of the pantry, most cabinet brands, if you're not in a really expensive brand, most cabinet brands make the top part of the pantry the same height as the wall cabinets so that the doors match, right? That the pantry doors align with the wall cabinets. So if they do that, then if you're getting 42-inch high wall cabinets, which I have you getting, then your top pantry door is going to be 42, and your bottom pantry door is going to be 54 inches minus the toe kick, which is 4.5. So your bottom pantry door is going to be like 48.5 inches. And unfortunately, all brooms and mops are like 52 inches. So what people do is sometimes they cut a hole in the bottom of the cabinet above so they can slip the handle of the broom or mop into the cabinet above, which you could do with your 42s too, just that you'll be slipping way more. So you'll be slipping an extra 8 inches up into the, into the cabinet above. I mean, you could cut out a whole chunk of the cabinet above and then just raise the shelf up in that cabinet, especially since you're supporting the whole thing from the bottom. But it will look a little, it depends on how good a job you do cutting the thing out. It could look a little ragged when you open the door to get your...
I can appreciate that. But that gives us some perspective on what our option is there, for sure.
One thing we didn't talk about, I don't think, that I mentioned, that I made the hood over your stove 36 inches wide.
No, I did not know that. So that's great to know.
So most kitchen designers would design the hood the same width as the stove underneath it. That's what most people would do. But long ago, I learned from a very good designer that it looks much more proportional when the hood is a little bit wider than the stove. It also works better. The hood also works better. It extends beyond the stove that's underneath it. But when I put it on my computer and then show customers, we'll look at the 30-inch stove with the 30-inch hood over it, and they'll think it looks fine. And then I'll make it a 36-inch hood, and then everybody says the same thing. Oh yes, that does look better. So just to remind, just to let you know. And you know, if you don't like it and you want to go 30, then you could make your wall cabinets on either side of the hood 3 inches wider on each side. But you know, just so you know, it looks a little bit better when the hood is a little bit wider than the cooking surface below.
That makes perfect sense to me, Paul. Yeah, to have a little bit of space versus everything being really tight.
It's actually not really leaving you any space. This hood is still going to be right up against the cabinets on either side.
Got it.
It's just that the hood itself is wider. In proportion, it looks nice. Like if you look at the picture, I think I don't really even have a head-on picture of the stove, But if we show, I showed you a head-on picture, you'd see it looks a little bit nicer. And somebody's going to have to put this thing on the computer for you locally. And when they do it, you can play around with it too and have them do a 30 or a 36. But I think you'll like the 36 inch better. It also means there's more tile around it too, right? So it makes the area seem a little nicer.
I think that sounds great. So there's a 36 inch hood, but of course we're looking at a 30 inch stove underneath it. So it just has a little bit. Okay, great. No, I think that makes great sense. And then what were some of the, any other questions?
And you don't want a stove, right? You don't want to buy a stove that has a back to it. Once you're getting a hood, in this case, I did the same hood that you had before, which is called a chimney hood. But once you're doing any decorative kind of hood, you don't want to buy a stove that has a back sticking up into your backsplash. You want to get what's called a slide-in stove that slides in with all the controls and everything on the front and no clock and no controls or anything on the back of the stove.
Perfect. That sounds perfect. So you had mentioned, Paul, that because you had designed this with, I think you said like 12-inch crown molding because of the size of the ceilings, that an option would be to drop the ceiling by 3 inches.
Yeah, that might be a good idea, right? Only because your house is old. So if you did drop the ceiling 3 inches, that would enable you to make it perfectly level. So you just take two by threes, right? It's not going to hold any weight. Uh-huh. So you take 2x3s that are very inexpensive. And then you just first you make a line around the room that's completely and totally level. And then you put the 2x4s on the perimeter of the whole room, 2x3s, I'm sorry. And then you just cut the 2x3s so that they're, you know, just like regular studs, 14 inches on center. And then you can put any lighting you want in there. You can do whatever else you want, run all your electric very easily to whatever locations that you want. But now your ceiling will be completely and totally level. And then when you do your moldings, your moldings won't have to be so big, and they'll look a little bit, you know, less imposing. And then they also won't be crooked, because probably if I had a guess, the average house that's 100 and something years old, like yours is, would probably, my house is your age. My house's ceiling is an inch and a half off around the room. That's a lot off.
It's a lot off. Well, that's definitely something we can talk to the GC about. As I look at there, the window casing goes up full height.
A problem with your window casing. It's true. But then the solution to that is, were you thinking about replacing that window with a replacement window? Or is it okay now? It's already been replaced.
Well, we haven't gotten that far. We haven't even thought about that, but certainly we could.
If you did from the outside of the house, you just have like a little header in white cap header above, and then you just buy a window that was shorter. If you got a vinyl replacement window, the cost of a vinyl replacement window generally is under $300. So it'd only be a $300 window plus the installation of it. But if you were planning on installing a new window there anyway, once you're redoing your whole kitchen and they're working in this room, then it wouldn't really be costing you anything. But you would have a problem because the casing and the trim of this thing goes all the way up to the ceiling. To fix that if that was the case.
Mm-hmm. So we'll talk to the general contractor, get a sense of what that would cost.
They might cut you a little bit of a break on lowering the ceiling too, because it is going to make the electrician's job incredibly easy. And even like if they were planning on ripping the whole, they're probably planning on ripping the whole ceiling out and running all the, they're going to rip the ceiling out because they need to run all the electric everywhere. And it's just easier if they rip everything out. Well, now they don't even have rip it out if they don't want to. They drop it 3 inches, it's six half dozen the other. So the electrician has everything he needs to run all the wiring and everything else. And depends on what he thinks.
Now that makes great sense. I'm definitely going to ask him that question. So just more out of curiosity, Paul, you had said that by going to the 42-inch cabinets versus I think the 36 12-inch
and 12, right?
Yeah, you said we saved thousands. So just, are we looking at probably saving maybe $5,000 by doing that? Just
what cabinet brand are we talking about?
Well, we're probably still going towards the Fabuwood. So
right now, if I look at your kitchen, I have it on my computer, right? So I can tell you what we would charge.
Okay. Well,
you know what? Instead of bringing a key out and everything, I don't have it designed in the other design with the other cabinets on top. But, if I look at this kitchen, what do I think this kitchen is going to cost in Fabuwood the way I've got it now? Probably in total cabinets. Like I said, too, I don't know if you want to do the molding from Fabuwood. So once you have white cabinets, if that's what you're getting, then the reason that you might want to do the molding in unfinished wood is if the contractor is really great and does a wonderful job and you do all this molding from Fabuwood, not only do you spend a couple $1,000s on molding or at least $1,500, $1,800 on molding, but it all looks beautiful when he leaves. And then the wood all shrinks and contracts based on the heat and the air conditioning in your house. And then a year from now or 2 years from now, because it's white cabinets, all the seams between the moldings, when they open up just a little bit, they're all black lines with the white cabinet.
Oh, wow.
And so it looks sort of funny. And then they're all enameled. So you can't really caulk and touch up paint those seams. So if it was the unfinished wood, then you wouldn't even have to cut the wood so well, because any crack that was a hairline crack, he just filled with caulk. And then the painter would come and paint everything. And then a year or two later, when everything, all the seams opened up, it's all just latex, room paint that's been color matched to cabinet color. So they can just, caulk all the seams over again. And you can open up a can of a gallon of paint that, matches your cabinets, mix it up, and then just touch up all those seams. So that saves you a bunch of money if you're doing that. Maybe your total cabinet cost here is under $15,000 for cabinets in Fabuwood if you take the molding out of the equation.
My God. You just became my husband's best friend.
But under 20 by a mile, right?
And if Well, that's almost half of what we've been charged lately, Paul. Right. So that's huge.
So then you said, what would it be with the glass doors on top? The way the doors work, because I don't think you want to do it with the stacked cabinets without the glass door. It looks sort of funny. A lot of people, it looks so much nicer to have the little glass doors on top. Well, the little glass doors, those cabinets with the glass doors are way more expensive than the big cabinets underneath them. So that's why you're going to have probably 7 cabinets. Maybe not all of them. The one over the pantry and the one over the refrigerator wouldn't be glass. 5 of them would be glass. In the other room, you have them glass, maybe on top. So I forgot about those little cabinets on top in the other room. So, you're getting maybe over 15 now. You're 16, 17 with the glass doors on the top there.
Mm-hmm.
How much would you save without the moldings? $17,000 now. You add the glass doors. Got to be at least $5,000 probably.
Okay. And it looks great. The way you set it up looks great. So I wanted to get a sense of what it was going to cost in additional, if we, and that is if we did the stacked, right? The stacked
cabinets
in the kitchen.
That's if you did them stacked,
Okay. And honestly, we have them that way now and we seldom use them. It's only for storage. And so we can store things.
Well, your cabinets are going up 42s too, so that's 8 feet high. So if you're getting anything higher than that, you got to be on a pretty high ladder to reach it. So, and then I don't know how old you are. I always say, and my wife will tell you, I'm a scaredy cat. So I'm pretty athletic and everything else, but I don't, I was a contractor walking on roofs and everything when I was young. I don't go up on a ladder or at all. And, I play pickleball every day or every other day, but I'm not not climbing anything. I'm not falling off anything.
Well, yeah, I will just tell you, Paul, that we had a ceramic top stove And I made the mistake once of when I was putting something up there of just like stepping onto the stove a little bit, thinking, oh, it'll be fine. And crack, of course, right? I'm not nearly as petite as I'd like to think I am. So, yeah, that was a huge mistake. Lesson learned. But that's great, great advice. I think I just have two more final questions, sure. And I'm going to, I think, use like, one is this. I do a lot of design work in the work that I do. And so selecting the colors is probably going to send me over the edge next most. But I'm curious. I've also been on the Fabuwood. They have a wonderful Instagram page with lots of different designs and cabinets that they've done. And I'm really also loving that timber with possibly the white or even maybe incorporating some navy. But do you know of these colors, which one? We still have a lot of people in our home or a lot of people who visit or young people. So is the navy versus the timber, does one get scratched easier? Does one hold up a little bit better?
All painted cabinets get damaged far more easily than stained cabinets. That's why people all the time write horrible reviews on cabinet brands about all the different brands. I got these cabinets. They're all chipping and scratching. They're all damaged. My old cabinets last 30 years. Well, their old cabinets were all stained wood and probably oak. And then their new cabinets are all painted. And then paint chips and scratches easily. Paint gets damaged by water easily. So, yeah, if you're looking for cabinets, and the cabinets that get the most damage are the bottom cabinets. So if you did do bottom cabinets in timber and top cabinets in white. But remember, if you do bottom cabinets and top cabinets different colors, if that's what you choose, then you do the tall cabinet, the pantry cabinet, the wall cabinet color, right? So that all the moldings that go around the room and the cabinet over the refrigerator is the other color. But yeah, the stain is more durable.
Is timber considered a stain or is it considered a paint?
Oh, no, timber's a stain. Timber's a light stain that looks, they're trying to make it look as much like maple as they can, but it's on popular birch. You know, and they have a hard time getting it to the color that they want. So that's why they only have that one color. And they succeed in the most part. But if they were to make the cabinets out of maple, maple's not available overseas. So it would just be way more expensive. So then you'd go to an American-made cabinet company to get maple. And then the price of the cabinets would, when we sell Integrity cabinets or 1951, which is the same as, Shenandoah at Lowe's or Timberlake. And that's probably 20% more expensive. So your price of your kitchen goes up 20% if you switch to maple. But if you like the timber color, then you got timber and you're saving 20% and the cabinets are just as well constructed and everything else.
Wow. And so the timber is going to definitely hold up better than like the painted indigo.
Yes. But the good thing is because everybody gets painted cabinets nowadays, most places, where are you guys located again?
Denver.
Most places, there are painters or furniture refinishers now that will come out because everybody's gotten painted cabinets and they're all getting damaged.
Right.
So now there are furniture refinishers that will come out to your house after 10 years and touch up your whole kitchen for maybe, around here it might be $700. Around you it's probably $1,000 or $1,100. It's not a fortune. And then when they're professionals, they will make it look perfect. So you won't even know that you have any damage to your cabinets generally.
Well, that's great advice. I'm afraid that even if we had that plan, it would still be 20 years before we have them painted. And I just would rather they look nicer, longer, immediately. Might be a better move for us. We have animals too. And so that is great. Yay. Great to know. Okay. And final question, Paul. This is where the, I was thinking of all the wonderful adjectives to describe you. And I was thinking, you're also kind of like a, not only your consumer advocate for kitchens, because there's so much information out there and it's really hard to decipher it and to know, who's giving you, if you're getting all the information that you need to make an informed decision. And so, but as you know, we've had somebody recently spend a bit of time with design, And if we decide not to go with them, I feel a little sense of like obligation to give her something for her time, even though it's not required.
And you wouldn't go with her because she doesn't have the brand that you want?
No, we go with her, but it was had to do with the Fabuwood piece that you and I were talking about in the sale.
Fabuwood piece and everything else.
Yeah. You know,
you're not buying the design that she did.
Correct.
You could give her this design and have her replicate it and have her give you a price.
Hmm.
And then she can give you her best price for this. And then you're hoping that it's going to come in. I mean, you're in Denver, so, you know, I'm saying what we would charge, but the Fabuwood factory is close to me, not you. So they're shipping across the country.
Right.
So, I mean, if she came back with $20,000 for all the cabinets that you're getting in this design, that would be totally reasonable, right? Hmm. So you can give her the opportunity to price out the design that you want. And then if her price is too high or you find somebody that you want to buy it with, I don't think I feel bad. I mean, part of being a designer is I'm mad if I do a design and the customer loves it and then they run off to some Amish man or something and have him make the cabinets, right? And you know what? That's not even custom cabinets. That's like homemade cabinets. It's just they think they're getting a better deal. But they're not. It's just a different animal. And it's not even as good as the custom cabinets they would get from us. But I might do that design. And then I'm just mad because the Amish guy could never have done the design. If they would just have listened to me, they would have made a better deal. But the fact that they took the design is what annoys me because they might have been thinking about doing that the whole time. But if someone doesn't get my design, then all the power to them. If I didn't think of it, I'm not mad when someone ends up getting something different. So if you give this design that's totally different than hers to her, and then she prices out the thing that you want, which now isn't even hers, and then you end up going someplace else because you get a better price. You know, you gave her the opportunity to do the kitchen in the cabinet brand that you thought you might even want. And then for whatever reason, she didn't price it out well or whatever. But is she like a real kitchen place? Do they have displays there and everything else?
It's kind of a grassroots place, but they don't have. Yeah, it's just a small emerging business, kind of getting off the ground, and so.
Is it like out of a house, or is it out of a?
No, like out of a office building, not of an office building.
I guess that's okay.
You know, and so I think that might be true. And Paul, you know, after you've design this wonderful design, you know, I would go with you. I would totally go with you if you would
We're way better off getting this design from her, where she's where, you know, there's somebody local that when stuff it's wrong, she would order it. It would be shipped to you. I can't fly out there to, you know, once in a blue moon, I've done a kitchen in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, or Bozeman, Montana, something wild like that. Because it was a friend or something like that really wanted it. And it actually doesn't even cost as much because the shipping isn't that expensive, but the cabinets in those areas are more expensive just because taxes and other things make it more expensive. But it's just not it's not a great idea, because if you do have any problems, the person that you need to help you is not close by.
No, I appreciate that. I just wanted you to know we would certainly go with you, Paul.
Yes, but give her the design.
Next house, when you change that policy, what's that?
I said, when you give her the design, now she knows you got a good grasp of this now. So you can tell the whole cabinet, make it deeper. We're thinking we don't want to get the moldings from the cabinet company. She's going to have to suck it up and realize she's not selling you $40,000 in cabinets anymore. It's all of a sudden maybe $20,000 in cabinets, but give her the opportunity to sell it to you. And then if she gives you the price, you can take that price and then take your same design that I gave you and take it to another Fabuwood dealer and get their price. They didn't do the design and they didn't think of it. So they shouldn't be that freaked out if.
No love lost. It's not. I just want to just be just. That's all. And so
I don't think that's, you know, believe me, I am a stickler for ethics when it comes to ethics.
Like, me too.
You know, when contractors give us customers, and they ask us to design their kitchens. And then the customers will say, well, you know, do you know any other contractors we could give this to? I'm not going to give them the name. Director, that's not
absolutely.
This person gave me their thing. And, you know, and I don't think when customers come to me and they give me designs that were done other places and want me to price it out, I'm like, listen, I'm not just going to price out somebody else's design. I want to come out to your house. I want to measure. Yep. I want you to go through the whole process. I'm not going to come up with the same design I'm sure that they did anyway, but you either go through our process or and start from scratch, but we just don't price out other people's projects. That's not what we do.
Absolutely.
So, and if somebody comes up with a better design than I do, I'm actually embarrassed, right? You know, customers sometimes come up with better designs than I come up with. You know, it's usually not contractors and engineers and architects. Sometimes customers, you know, they have their thinking caps on. They're spending more time than anybody else is thinking about it. And then they just come up with a tweak or a change, you know, maybe I would have done if I had a little more time or if I thought that they wanted to spend that much more money. Right. Oh, well, what if we took out this wall too? Well, we didn't discuss that, but I don't know. Let me do it and see. Oh, look, it's a lot better. You know, what if we move the staircase? Oh, if you're willing to move the staircase, well, then that's a lot better. But if I didn't come up with the design, when you buy the cabinets from us, you're paying for our design time. If we didn't do the design, then we didn't do you a service. So I got no problem buying the cabinets from them.
Yeah, well, you are just a gem, and I cannot thank you enough for, I mean, truly, you are advocating for the consumer and helping us navigate this very overwhelming world. And I'm going to stay in touch. I'll let you know how they shake up. And so you're not through with me yet, but I am definitely.
And don't so great. Away. It doesn't mean the way I look at this. It doesn't mean that she's not going to be mad at you. What I'm saying is you don't really have the right if you didn't do the design, right?
Yeah. I appreciate that very much.
The design is the design is what makes your home valuable. And so if you're not doing it as the designer and somebody else did it, you got a lot of nerve.
Yeah.
If you're marking that up a too much, you know, when you weren't even the one responsible, if you lose that job, you didn't lose any of your own work product. You lost it because of your pricing. Not because if someone took your work product from you. So whatever.
No, I agree.
Okay.
Well, Paul,
as far as colors too,
by
the way, just to mention this. As far as colors go, you said you're very concerned with colors and things like that. Nowadays, when you do your recessed lights in your ceiling, there'll be LED lights and lighting systems that are only $100 or $200 more that will can be programmed to your phone and will change the color into an infinite number of colors all for free.
Wow.
It's like the whole lighting system is a couple of hundred dollars more. And then you can,
so
people that like will freak out, like some of our customers will insist on custom colors and custom cabinet brands, color match to unusual finishes and all these different places that they found and Sherwin Williams and Benjamin Moore colors and everything else. And if they just have their lighting system and adjust the lighting and make it more gray, it changes all the white cabinets and all the colors of the cabinets completely changing the lighting, right? So
wow.
If you're really that concerned about color, get that lighting system. And then if you're thinking that your cabinets, after everything is done, look a little yellow, you take a little yellow out of the light. And if you're thinking they look too gray, take a little gray out of them.
I think that's great. Now, Paul, I lied. I have one more. What kind of countertops do you What kind of countertops do you recommend?
Well, there's good things and bad things about every kind of top. What kind of countertops were you considering? Had you gotten that far?
I can tell you, I've done a little bit of homework, and I've had people tell me different things, and so I really am kind of clueless. My sister says that the quartz is the only way to go. And the gal that we had been working with said go with the manufactured, I forget what it's called. Is it the manufactured? I don't know, Paul. But is there one that withholds stains better than others? I'm sorry?
Not Dekton?
Dekton, it might have been.
Dekton. Dekton is like a porcelain kind of top or glass, painted glass,
whatever. Okay.
But But, you know, generally 90% of all the countertops that get sold now, the customers want them to look like sort of marble. So that's the reason they're all getting quartz tops, is that the quartz, if you got real marble would be scratched and destroyed, you know, almost instantly. So you can't get those kind of colors in marble. So the man-made surfaces, like all the quartz colors, look the most like it. Granite just doesn't come in those very marble-like looking colors. It's about half the price for the inexpensive granite colors than the quartz colors. And there's nothing wrong with those granite colors other than they're less fashionable right now. And, you know, they don't come quite as close to looking like marble, or they don't come close at all to looking like marble. There's also kinds of tops that are called quartzite, which is a stone that looks more like marble and has more of the properties of granite to it. So it's hard and it doesn't scratch as easily and everything else. But those quartzite tops are about the same price as the quartz. So that's why just most of the time, or at least most of our customers, get quartz. But it's not because it's better. It's just that's the pattern that they want. And you can't get that in anything durable if it wasn't quartz. And quartz, by the way, unlike granite and unlike any kind of natural stone, you can't take a pot right off the burners and put it on quartz, because the temperature of the quartz is like 420 degrees. So anything out of the broiler or anything, a red hot pan off the stove, could singe your quartz.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's something worth considering. It's just because we're not always the ones managing that. So that's good. And there's not one that you say just so quartz is good. Look at that. But we can also look at some of these man-made countertops you said that.
Well, quartz is man-made. Quartz is a man-made top. That's why it melts, because the resin, which is the glue that bonds the quartz together in the man-made tops, is the engineered stone. The resin that bonds it is what melts at 425 degrees. The stone doesn't melt, but the resin melts. Whereas natural tops like granite or marble or quartzite, those are real stones. And all of those, pretty much, you can't really, you certainly can't burn them. They're rocks. You might be able to stain them. And the marble scratches really easily. You shouldn't get a marble top. A marble top is just scratches and etches. Etches is where it loses its shine, and it stains. It does everything really easily. And then the Dekton is the thing I mentioned. That's a new kind of top that's has beautiful patterns on the surface, but the patterns don't go on the edge of the top. So the edges of the top are all just solid white. So a lot of times people don't realize that. And, you know, if they did, they wouldn't be ordering them.
Got it. Well, my friend, you are the best. I'm just so, so grateful. And my husband sat here and I wanted to make sure we had two sets of ears.
Not pulling his hair out with all this?
Now, you know, he's a laid back Australian. So thankfully it takes a lot to get him to pull his hair out. And when you consider the fact that we haven't killed each other working in the kitchen that we've been in for the last 24 years, it kind of speaks to the man that he is. because, I'm the one who gets a little bit more crazed with those things. But, Paul, you, I cannot thank you enough.
No problem.
From the bottom of my heart, thank you.
All right. We'll probably talk to you again.
Have a wonderful week, okay?
Okay, you too.
All right. Sounds good.
All right.
Stay well. God bless you. Bye-bye.
All right.
Thank you for listening to the Mainline Kitchen Design Podcast with nationally acclaimed kitchen designer Paul McAlary. This podcast was brought to you by Brighton Cabinetry, high-quality custom cabinetry at competitive prices. For more on kitchen cabinets and kitchen design, go to www.mainlinekitchendesign.com.